Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want to get into my message, but I want to just say something really quick, and I just want to kind of testify about the goodness of God. Can I do that really quick? And I kind of wrestled with this because I'm really embarrassed about this fact. It's probably one of the most embarrassing facts about me, at least to myself. I don't know if you guys saw, but this week I actually graduated with my master's. And I'm very thankful for that. Thank you. But I want you to know the miracle in this for me, okay? When I was in third grade, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. A lot of people don't know this about me. I don't share this because it's just an insecurity for me. When I was in third grade, they started noticing that I had issues reading. And one of the things that, there's lots of different forms of dyslexia, but the thing that I wrestle with is that my eyes cannot follow the words and flow mechanically on the paper. So when I read one sentence, I'll actually drop down like four or five sentences, or I can read the same sentence three times in a row, okay? And so when I was little, I used to cover up my one eye so I could read. And what happened was in gym class, you know, we used to have to stand on one foot for 30 seconds and do the other foot. Well, I'd fall right over. And my equilibrium was so messed up because my eyes were messed up. And I had to end up wearing a patch on my eye, and I had to go through therapy, and I had to do all these exercises. And then I was placed in this room in my school called the resource room. Now, back then, they used to call it the retard room. All right? And so I struggled reading my whole life. I mean, my whole entire life. And my books in high school, like when you have dyslexia and you have a hard time reading, your math book is about the size of this table. I mean, the words are like this big, okay? And so I'd walk in the hallway and they're like, man, what class are you in? You know, and I got this, you know, weird looking books. And I was always late for class because I never wanted anyone to know which classroom I was in. I was in the special class. You know, back then they didn't have any specialized help. They just threw us all in one class, right? And so anyhow, I struggled with that my whole life. You know, I was picked on, called names, idiot, stupid, dumb, you know what. I was called all of it. Some by my family, some by my friends. And I remember when I was a senior in high school, in Michigan, they make you take an assessment test. You can go through all 12 grades, but if you don't pass the test when you're a senior, they won't certify your diploma. And I remember I took that test, and it was brutal, all right? And so my dad picked me up at the school. They did another assessment test on me, and I graduated with an eighth grade reading level, all right? And so I was raised by my dad, and, you know, if you ever watched the movie Wall Street, he's Gordon Gekko, okay? That's my dad. So he's not the Quaker Oats guy, just jolly, nice, you know, sensitive guy. He's just straight-to-the-point businessman. And I remember I was in my dad's car. We pulled in the garage. I was like 17 years old. And I took this test, and I found out I got an eighth-grade reading level, okay? And I just started crying in my dad's car. And my dad said, let me tell you something. He said, you're never going to be a doctor, and you'll never be a lawyer. I'll never forget these words as long as I live. He says, you're never going to be a doctor and you're never going to be a lawyer. He says, but if you can be a salesperson, you can make more money than the doctor and the lawyer. And so I got the privilege of calling my dad and say, Dad, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer, but I do have my master's degree. And I'm going to tell you something, that is glory to God. Because there's many nights I was in this office and I, you know, he allowed me to see the words. And so God is good. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get into this. I'm going to be speaking tonight, and I'm going to be speaking next Wednesday. And I have a message for us about the refuge of the Lord. The refuge of the Lord. There is a place within your relationship with God called the refuge of the Lord. It's a place of shelter. It's a place of strength. It's a place that you can go into and retreat from the harshness and the pressures of this world. It's a place that God desires to meet you. It's a place where you can strip away all the chaos of your day and center your attention on Him to listen to the still small voice. It's called the refuge of the Lord. It's a place of strength. It's a place of peace. It's a retreat. Amen? And I want to talk in the next week, this week and next week, about the refuge of the Lord. And this week what we're going to talk about is the realities of our world and the things that we are affected with each and every day. The things that are outside of the refuge of the Lord. And then next week I want to talk about going into that place, the refuge of the Lord, what takes place within that encounter with God. And it is beautiful. When you can walk into the presence of the Lord with a heavy heart and leave moments later feeling peace, there's something about that that you can't explain to someone who's never experienced that before. Like, how do you know God is real? Because I've experienced the peace of God. It's the refuge of the Lord. Amen? And I really do believe one of my concerns is, as Christians, that we don't get to that place enough. It's not a place that's reserved for crisis moments only. It's not a special occasion place. It's not your formal dining room that you only use twice a year. This is a place that God desires for us to be, for us to seek, each and every day. It's the refuge of the Lord. He sees you battling all of these things. He sees you facing all of these things. And He's waiting on the sidelines for you to come into His presence so He can speak peace to your heart. But so many times I think we're so busy that we say, Lord, I don't have time for this right now. And we never stop, and we don't have the discipline in stopping and retreating to the refuge of the Lord. So this week what I want to talk about is the realities of our world. And next week I want to talk about the refuge of the Lord. Amen? How many of y'all want to grow? I mean, you want to grow financially. You want to grow in your business. You want to grow in your relationship with God. You want to grow in your relationship with your spouse. You want your kids to grow up. Amen. All of us have this desire to grow. And I think that there's this one prayer, the prayer of Jabez, that really sums up the desire within each of our hearts to obtain more and to grow. And it says this. It says, oh, that you indeed bless me and enlarge my property. Wouldn't that be awesome? Enlarge my property, Lord, and bless me, Father. Then it says, and that your hand would be with me. It's one thing to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. I want Him to give me great blessing, but I also don't want that blessing to be taken away. So that your hand would be with me. It sustained me. One thing to grow, it's another thing to protect. And then he says this, and you would keep me from evil so that it does not hurt me. Evil erodes. Amen. And God granted his request. I think that's the desire of all of our hearts. God, I want to grow. I want more, God. I desire more. And that's a desire that God puts in our heart. And so when you're talking about enlarging your property, you're talking about promotion. God, I want a promotion. God, I'm striving. I want to go to the next level. You're talking about more market share. God, I want more customers. I want more market share. I need more clients. I want more. You're talking about building multiples in your business where all of a sudden you have multipliers in your business and you got all these new places that you're developing, these new ventures, these new ideas. Amen? You want more. You want more territory. God, give me more. But what you got to understand is what you're really saying is, God, I want more. And in that reality, you're saying, God, I want more oversight. I want more things to overlook. I want more things to steward. I want more things to care for. When you say that you want more, I mean, so many people say, well, you know, I just want more. But what you're really asking for is more oversight, more problems. You say you want more employees, that means you got more risk. Every single employee that you have is a liability. Amen. You say, I want more territory, Lord. Expand my borders. Well, what you're asking God to do is to physically take up the post, dig it up, move it, plant it back down, and you got to turn around and say, I got all this new land that I have to tend. That's what you're asking for. What we have to understand is as we grow, what we are asking for is for growth. And in growth is problems. In growth is issues. And in growth is challenges and concerns. God, I want more. Then you're asking for more problems. God, give me more. You got more concerns. The greater the risk, the more the possibility that something negative might happen. The more territory to tend is the more land to toil and protect. Growth brings problems, but we don't cease to grow because we don't want to welcome problems, right? Listen, growth is natural. Whether you like it or not, you are going to grow and get older. I have an 11-year-old little girl right now who is growing, and it's official because I don't get the full-on hugs anymore. I get the side hugs. Because there's stuff going on that dad's not supposed to know about. We're just getting a side hug right now. Whether I like it or not, she's growing. No matter what, it is God's desire for you to grow physically, spiritually, financially, and emotionally. God wants you to grow and establish your household. And one of the greatest advancements we can do is set our children's hearts upon the Lord. That is the greatest thing that we can do in developing our households. Amen? God is not interested in us being idle. God doesn't want us to say, well, I don't want any problems, so I don't care about growing. I'm totally fine at where I'm at right now. Idleness is not of the Lord. So many people shrink back because they can't handle any sort of conflict and they can't handle any sort of problems. But idleness is not of the Lord. Idleness doesn't seek God. Idleness retreats. The prayer of Jabez seeks God. Lord, indeed will you bless me. Amen? God desires for us to grow. In fact, look at the parable of the wealthy fool. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Here you have a man who's very rich. And it says this, there was a rich man whose land was very fertile and productive. And he began to think to himself, what should I do? I have so much, large enough crops. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns and store all my grain and goods there. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things stored up, enough for many years. Now relax and don't worry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that all what we want? Let me win the $375 million Powerball so I can just chill out. Amen. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And now, who will own all the things that you prepared for?" God's not interested in idleness. In fact, if you go down through the rest of that chapter, he says, "Sell your possessions, give them to the poor. You got so much, give." We have to earmark this, that God's desire for us to grow, God's desire for us to obtain wealth, God's desire to prosper us is not for us to store it up in barns, but it's to deploy them into the will. His desire to give. Amen? So this prayer of Jabez really reflects the passion and the desire within our hearts to grow and to advance. Amen? So now, this is what we have to understand about growth. This is what we have to understand about advancement. That all growth, all advancement is chaos coming to order. The creation narrative shows us that God creates out of chaos and brings into order. The world was formless. It was chaotic. And he said, "Let there be light." And he spoke order to the chaos. He separated the sky from the land. He said, "Right here is the border of the ocean sea and no further." Out of chaos, he spoke and order was established. God establishes order out of chaos, and all growth is established out of chaos. It's order established out of chaos. God brings to order out of chaos. That is why many people, if you ever see that the opposite of God's order is sin. It's when we miss the mark. And that's why when someone is caught in the vortex of sin, their life seems so chaotic and out of control. You ever notice that? You've never met someone that's like, "Oh man, just living like a heathen and got it all together." That person is tore up. Their foundation is tore up. The vortex of sin that sucks you in is a chaotic nature. It destroys order. God spoke order. Out of chaos, he establishes order. And sin's nature is to take the order and try to destroy it and bring you into chaos. That's one of the things that really attracted me to the individual that led me to the Lord. Was that my life was so chaotic and his life was so in order. And I was like, "I want that." You know what I'm saying? Chaos is wild. Chaos is undefined. There's no boundaries to chaos. There's no discipline. There's no authority. There's no line management. There's no moral code to chaos. But all growth is chaos being shaped and placed in order. If you have a new business and you hire a group of new employees, you are bringing this group of employees and you are sharing with them, you're taking this chaotic group of new employees and you're sharing with them what your desired result is in them producing. I'm hiring you to produce a desired result, right? You're shaping a culture. And listen, employees will naturally want to do the opposite of order. They want to do the easiest thing possible. Amen? You say, "I want you to do it like this. These are the precepts. This is how we do it. This is order. This gets us to our desired end result." They're like, "I'll do this, but I'm going to skip 2 and 3, and I'm going to get down to 4 and 5. And then the end result is not as tight because they didn't do the correct order. Amen? All order is shaped out of chaos. Our growth in our children is shaped out of chaos. My kids are chaotic. My kids are crazy. I mean, it's chaos. Kids are chaos. And what you do each and every day is you're trying to establish within them order. I just had this lesson the other day. I told my wife, I said, "I will never again empty a dishwasher as long as I live." I got kids to do that now. But I go into cabinets the other day and like these cups start falling on me. And I took my kids, I said, look, you guys empty out the dishwasher, but it looks like Ray Charles has put up the dishes. You don't do it like this. And so I'm taking that chaos, that chaotic nature inside of my kids, and I am building inside of them order. Maddie, the other day, I said, listen, don't you dare rinse out your drink and put it in the sink and not put it in the dishwasher. You rinse out your drink and put it in the dishwasher. Okay, Daddy. Well, she rinsed out her drink and put it in the sink. She went to bed. 10 o'clock at night, I woke her up. What, Dad? What? What? Her hair's all over the place. What, Dad? I said, I think you made a mistake, baby. You left your glass in the sink. What? Yeah, you left your glass in the sink. You need to go downstairs and get your glass and put it in the dishwasher real quick. She walked down the stairs and she was fumbling. Mandy was so mad at me. You're so mean to the kids, you know. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to promote growth in our children. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to establish order. We're trying to establish precepts, okay? We're trying to remove the chaos, the natural tendencies not to do the right thing. Amen? So when we seek growth, we really are wrestling against chaos. And this is important. When you seek growth, you're wrestling against chaos. How many of you want to grow? You want to grow in your finances? You're going to wrestle against chaos. That chaos may be the behavior inside of you. Maybe you're so impulsive at the moment to swipe that card. The chaos inside of your marriage may be dealt with. You want to grow inside of your marriage? You want to have the best marriage possible? I tell Mandy, I want to have the best marriage possible. I want to have the, listen, I love my wife, and I want to have the best marriage possible. And that's why we go to a marriage counselor to deal with the chaos. She married me. Trust me, there's chaos. There's chaos with you. Two individuals who face so many challenges within the day and so many stresses come together. I told Mandy, I see you for an hour and a half every day, maybe. And she speaks about an hour and 15 minutes of that hour and a half. Right? You know what I'm saying? So with that, guys, we go to a counselor, and you know what she does? She helps organize the chaos. She says, you know what your number one problem is? I said, yeah. She says, let me tell you what your problem is. Your arch enemy to your marriage is busyness. And she takes a look at my schedule and Mandy's schedule. She says, what can you say no to? We're like, well, we can't say no to nothing. We sit down and we take a look and we got to talk about these things. It's bringing order to chaos. You want to grow? That's how you grow. You want to start a new business? You are going to fight every possible fight that you could think. It's a bloody war to stake your claim and say, I'm going to do this. You're stealing market share from other people. You're going to fight the opinions of others. You're going to fight against competition. You have to recruit employees. You have to fight against payroll. You got to express who you are. You got to build a culture. It's bringing order to this chaos, this formless chaos that you're stepping into. It's what you got to fight against. Amen? So all growth encounters conflicts with chaos. All growth has challenges and problems associated with them. Bigger business, bigger problems. Children get older, my kids are getting older. More concerns and more complicated issues. Listen, I got to the place right now that I will never judge another parent's kid. I'm just telling you right now, because I don't want it coming back on me. Like, I'm just being honest, you know. My kids are becoming more complex, you know. I'm fighting with my 11-year-old because she wants Instagram and Facebook and an iPhone. No. More territory, more toil. This is natural. You got to understand. The problems associated with growth are natural. You're going to fight chaos. You're going to fight. It's a wrestling match. It's a bloody war. You want to grow? It's a bloody war. Jesse Duplantis doesn't say that. He says, pass the offering bucket. It's a war against you. You want more? You want to move those stakes? It's a war. And it's natural. And it's natural because it's part of the fall of man. It's the curse. You have to put your hands in the soil, and you're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to faith it, and you're going to have to believe, and you're going to have to sweat, and you're going to have to fret, and you're going to have to get to that place of just grit. That's growth. Now, how many of y'all want to grow? Lord, expand my territory. I don't know now. So here's the deal, and this is what I want to get to. We're talking about the refuge of the Lord. Why is the refuge of the Lord so important? Because every single one of you right now are in a cycle and a process of growth. Whether you like it or not, your body's getting older. Your kids are getting older. Now, you can be intentional about it or you can be idle about it, but you are in a process of growth. Now, you can either deal with the chaos within your finances, within your business, within your marriage, within your physical body, or you can ignore it. But you will come to a point where you have to grow. So as we are all in a cycle of growth, we are all now in the cycle of problem solving. And this is where I really want to get to with this chaos. Chaos and problem solving. Problem solving has the tone of chaos. Okay? You are moving from one set of problems to another, from one issue to another, from one set of challenges to another. What are those problems? Those problems are threats and conflicts against you that are chaos. When my kids do something that's not orderly, that is the problem that I have to deal with. It is a problem of chaos. You could walk into your restaurant and you may be gone for a couple hours, and you walk into chaos and you're like, I have to deal with this problem. There's chaos. Okay? All problems have this threat, and this threat is I have this established order that I'm trying to get my life, and now I have this conflict and this pressure of chaos trying to take over the order. That's why he says, Lord, let no evil take over me. Because evil erodes profitability. Chaos erodes profitability. Amen? So we are all in this cycle of growth, and we are all in this cycle of problem solving. But here is one of the biggest challenges Christians face. They are not aware of this reality. That as you grow, you are actually facing more problems. And what happens is when most Christians face a problem, they just think that some great injustice has fallen upon them. In fact, what you are facing is normal. You meet people that just cannot handle any sort of problem. My God, why is this happening? Because you have teenagers. That's why it's happening. And it's normal. What were you like as a teenager? I was crazy. Why is this happening? Because everything in this world tries to fight against the institution of marriage. That's why. Why is this happening? Because you are trying to build something and you're trying to grow and you are facing the headwinds of that. It's not foreign. It's not like you're a victim of something. It's natural. But here's the problem. Most Christians cannot handle that fact. And what happens is they become very emotionally immature. They're tossed by the wind. They're what I call manic Christians. If I'm really cool and nothing happens to me today, then God is good. Well, what happens if you have to face payroll challenges? Oh my God, where are you? And what God wants to do is to build spiritual maturity within a Christian by giving them balance and equilibrium. See, this is the thing. Every single one of us wants to figure out how to solve the problem that you're facing right now, right? Lord, if I could just have this. I used to say that when I sell my house. I was like, God, if you just help me sell my house, I'll never ask you for another thing again. I just need you to help me sell my house. It's the biggest problem I got. I got to figure this out. Now that's solved. And I'm like, God, help me get through school. I cannot believe I signed up for school. What was I thinking? Now I'm done with school. And I'm like, Lord, help me pay for school. It's funny. They give you a diploma. They're like, hey, there you go. Congratulations. Now you need to go see the business office down there. They're ready for you. The thing is this, is that the problem you face today will be solved and it's going to usher you to a bigger problem. The problem you face today will be solved and it's going to usher you to a bigger problem. So it's not about solving the problem right now, it's about being proficient in problem solving. It's about being able to be in this series, in this cycle of I'm always moving forward, I'm always growing. I'm always fighting to establish order, whether it's in my finances, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my spiritual life. I will establish order. And I know I'm going to face problems. I know they're going to be chaotic in nature, and they're going to try to disrupt the order that I am trying to establish. And it's not about the problem right now. It's about becoming a problem solver. Right? I don't want to be a manic Christian up and down. So what's the antidote? How do I anchor myself? How do I become a problem solver? How do I grow? How do I not allow things to totally overwhelm me where I'm just crashed and destroyed? It's called the refuge of the Lord. There is a place within God that you have to get to daily. That when you get there, all the things that you're trying to do, you can close your eyes and say, God, indeed, I need you to bless me. Indeed, I need you to move on my behalf. God, touch my marriage. My schedule's chaotic. It's so much, and our time's limited. Touch my household, God. Lord, touch my kids. You know they're crazy. Touch them, God. Help me, God, as a parent. You know, I get to see my kids for 2 hours a day. I don't want to be Wyatt Earp every time I come home. Help me, God, in that balance. You know, isn't it hard to find out what to say and what not to say, when to draw the line, when not to draw the line, when to let them have 2 scoops of ice cream, thank you, Kevin Cotton, when to let them not have 2 scoops of ice cream. There's this refuge that you can go to for insight and wisdom and knowledge. It's called the refuge of the Lord. We have a men's prayer group that meets here. And if you're a man, tomorrow night at 7:30 from 8:30, if you meet us here, it'll be the best hour of your week. I guarantee it. Brother Bass is here. Josh. Moses. We got a bunch of guys in here. And all we do is we turn down the lights because we don't want to look at each other praying. We turn up the music real loud because we don't want to hear each other pray. And we pray for about 45 minutes on our own. And then we get together for about 15 minutes. We hold hands as men, and we pray and seek God. It's the refuge of the Lord. And every time we're done, it's like a big love fest. Oh, man, I love you. Man, it's awesome, wasn't it? You know why? Because every time you step out of the refuge of the Lord, you feel free. I step into that place with sin on me. I step out free. I get cleansed by the blood of Christ. Chaos is washed off of me. Amen? And I want to talk next week about the refuge, but I want to read you this. This is what David wrote. You know, David was such a sporadic leader. I mean, he was a shepherd, ushered to be a king. I mean, he wasn't qualified. He didn't have the proper etiquette. He doesn't know John Maxwell's leadership laws, or he didn't have any of that. But he is able to get to this place within God. In Psalm 46 reads this, he says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. What he's saying there is chaos. Though its waters roar and foam, and its mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms will fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. You ever felt like that? Like everything is against you and you're just ripped to pieces, and then he can just speak peace to your heart and you feel literally like it's just melting off of you. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spears. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's a place that God desires, and it's not reserved for crisis. It's supposed to be our daily pursuit. I tell people this all the time. I say, you know, they say, what do I need to do to grow? I just can't get it together. What they're saying is they got chaos, right? I said, well, the thing that Pastor Steve taught us in Kansas City is, like, he said, you need to read your Bible for 15 minutes every day. I mean, the pure word of God, the bread of life. I mean, if you're connected to the vine, this is the nutrients that flow from the vine. This is the word of God. Read it for 15 minutes every day. And then the second thing is, you got to pray for 15 minutes every day. And he says, you know, if you're spirit filled, if you have the wonderful experience of being able to speak in utterance, he says, reserve 5 minutes for that. And your 15 minutes of prayer, speak 10 minutes with your intellect and with your English tongue. But he says, then just speak 5 minutes in your prayer language and then sit. And you will hear the still small voice in the place of refuge. Next week, I want to talk about the exchange. I want to talk about what is given to you. I want to talk about how you encounter God in the refuge. There's cleansing. I talk about this in my men's prayer group. I said, every single one of us, the first thing that we need is to be cleansed of the sin that we have on us. The blood of Christ washes us clean. Then we get to this place where we thank God and we praise God and we speak those things that are not as though they were. I love it. I want to show you that place next week. Y'all get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Let's pray really quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. God, again, have your hand upon the Maturo family. Have your hand upon the Knights. Have your hand upon all of us, God. We need you. God, I pray, Lord, I pray that you will just, I pray the Holy Spirit just tug on every heart in here. Just grab it and say, I want to have a conversation with you. Get to this quiet place in me. Get to this refuge. Read the Word of God and experience His goodness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.